today is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, part of it, concerning the cleansing of 10 lepers. We read that Jesus went up to Jerusalem through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And when they went up to the feast at Jerusalem, they usually bypassed this country called Samaria. It was in a direct line to Jerusalem, the shortest way and the easiest way to go to Jerusalem. But when they came down from Galilee, they crossed over the River Jordan and they bypassed this country. And when they came down into Judah, then they cut across to Jordan again and went to Jerusalem. And now Jesus, he had no enmity whatsoever against the Samaritans. We know from Scripture that he went through Samaria several times. And now he's on his way to Jerusalem to observe some feast that the Jews usually attended to. And as he went through the midst of Galilee and Samaria, we find that he entered into a certain village, and there were 10 lepers that met him and stood afar off. These men were all afflicted with the dreadful disease, leprosy. Leprosy under the Israelites of old was an incurable disease. The Jews believed that God only inflicted this disease upon certain people for particular sins. Their reason was based upon first Miriam, the sister of Moses. You know that she stood up against Moses and Aaron and said, "Hath he not spoken by us also?" And immediately God afflicted her with this dreadful disease, leprosy. We know too from Scripture that Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, he ran after this man, Naaman, who was cured of his leprosy, to receive something from him because Elijah had not taken anything from him. And when he returned and he was declared to be a thief, then God afflicted him with this dreadful disease. The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto Gehazi and his seed forever, were the words spoken by Elijah. And there was a certain king by the name of Uriah. He went into the temple contrary to what God had commanded, to offer up incense. And the priest, they spake to him and said that it was not right for him to do this. But he was bold and forward, and when he attempted to do this, then God smote him likewise with this disease. From this you may see why that the Jews thought that this disease was only inflicted by God. And where he was the only one that inflicted this disease, there was only one that could cure it, and that was God too. God, under Israel of old, gave laws concerning this affliction. You may read thereof in Leviticus 13. God had given the priest this authority to judge whether a person who had leprosy was either clean or unclean. There were no remedies for this disease. God gave none. They never went to a physician or never used anything to cure themselves from this. The priest had the sole prerogative to pronounce a person either clean or unclean. A person that had this disease, he was to have his clothes rent, his head bare, and he was to cover his upper lip. And whenever anyone approached him, he was to cry out, unclean, unclean. They were isolated from everyone. They were put out of the camp of Israel, and they had to dwell alone all the days that this disease was upon them. This disease centered mostly in the skin. Great pieces of skin just practically turned to corruption. A person that had this disease, it was an awful sight, according to the commentary. These persons were actually turning back to the grave. They were next to it, if you looked at them. This was the condition of such a person. How awful to have this incurable disease. They only waited for an act of God to make them well again. We have here 10 men. They had this awful disease. They were dwelling outside of this village through which Jesus came. Where this village was, the chapter doesn't say. Whether it was in Galilee, whether it was in Samaria, whether it was in Judah, Scripture is silent. It just says that Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and then he went through a certain village, and there were 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. This was according to the law. They were not to come near to anyone. They had to dwell afar off from everybody. This disease had, at times, such that the skin dried up, and a person was completely covered with this skirt. And when he went to the priest, he was judged clean. But if he had an open wound, and there was risings in the middle of this wound, then he was declared unclean. The one was chronic, the other was acute. The chronic was not contagious because it was all dried up and the person was covered over with it. But the one that was open and the flesh rising up in it was deemed contagious, and that person was called unclean. Here we have 10 men afflicted with this dreadful disease. Now, they had heard of Jesus, the wonderful prophet, and of the miracles that he performed, and of the diseases that he cured. And one of them was leprosy. You can imagine how this word must have affected these men. They were all afflicted with it. But this person, Jesus, this wonderful prophet, he was able to cure this disease. And now they must have been told that he was coming through this village. And when they heard this, they came to the place where Jesus was going to pass by. And as he passed by, they lifted up their voices. They were unanimous. They all had the same affliction. They all had the same faith, except one. He had a little more. But they all had faith to believe that Jesus could cure them, a general faith in his power, in his mercy, in his pity, and in his compassion. And they knew that he was God and man, from what they had heard and from the wonders that he'd done. And therefore, they could not let this opportunity pass by. So when he went by, they began to pray. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. 6 words. They all prayed this at the top of their voices, because they were afar off. They wanted to be heard. How many times they prayed this, Scripture doesn't say, but we may be sure that they prayed more than once, for the case was urgent. They needed mercy. If you take notice, they didn't pray to Jesus that he would deliver them from their leprosy. No such word is in this prayer. Just have mercy upon us. And now this glorious Jesus, this precious Savior, who never turned anybody down that appealed to him. But when he saw them, and what a sight that must have been to Jesus himself, these 10 men just covered with corruption, just ready, we would say, to fit into the grave. Oh, if I and you saw these people, I think our hearts would be melted into pieces. We would want to do something for somebody like this if we have any feelings for humanity. Much more Jesus, whose heart was filled with pity and tender compassion towards those that were afflicted, and especially towards those that appealed unto him. He saw them, it says. And oh, what a sight it was for this precious Jesus. And his heart melted into contrition for them. And he spake unto them and said, Go unto the priest. This is all that he said. He didn't say, I will heal you of your leprosy. He didn't give them any sign that they would be cured. He commanded them that they should go to the priest. As I said, it was the sole prerogative of the priest to decide whether they were clean or unclean. My hearers, this was a trial for these 10 men. Suppose you and I had this and we were one of them. And Jesus said to me and you, go, show yourself to the priest. The first thought that would come up in us would be, what's the use of going to the priest? He's sure going to tell me to go back where I come from. I'm just filled with leprosy. Let's wait and see if he'll cure us first before we go to the priest. There were others probably that said, let's go. We ain't got anything to lose by it. We're still this way. Let's do what he tells us to do. And they overwon the others. And so they all went, the whole 10 of them. And as they went, Scripture says they were cleansed. Just imagine, picture in your mind these 10 men going toward the priest, and suddenly one looks at himself and he sees himself completely cleansed. This is a miracle enough for one. But now all 10 of them, one right after the other, they were cleansed of this terrific and terrible affliction, leprosy. I think they all stood still. They all admired themselves. They had never before had such flesh on them as they had now. Their flesh was fairer than a young child's. They looked at themselves and they were filled with wonder and amazement. What had taken place? A godly miracle, a godly wonder. It was a godly cure. No words were spoken to them. No hand was laid upon them. They just, in obedience to Christ's word, went and they were cleansed. I think that this gave them more speed to go to the priest to show themselves unto him. Now they had something to show him. Now they were firmly convinced themselves that the priest couldn't turn them down because they were clean. And now there was one, just one, mind you, amongst these ten, that when he saw that he was perfectly well and whole again, and that he was cleansed from this awful disease, he, instead of going along with the other nine to the priest, he turned back. He was so overjoyed and his heart was so broken and contrite because God had been so good to him as to cleanse him from this awful affliction that he thought no more about the priest. He only thought about him who had been his heavenly benefactor. He had such faith to believe that this Jesus, that this master who he had prayed to, was the Son of God, was the one that was to come, was the one of whom was prophesied that all their sins and their iniquities he would take upon himself. And he returned, glorifying God, it says, with a loud voice, and fell at his feet with exclamations of thanks. Oh, what a blessed place this man came to. Oh, how wonderful to be given that grace to glorify God through Jesus Christ for the mercy and for the benefit that he had received from God. He glorified God, who was the one that had cured him and who deserved all the praise and all the honor. And he came to the feet of Jesus, in and through whom God had cleansed him from this disease. He lay at his feet. Oh, he had no words anymore to express his thanks and his gratitude to him who had made him perfectly whole. And this man was a Samaritan. This man, if he had went with the nine and had went to the priest, he would have been rejected. He was not an Israelite. He was not permitted into the temple. He was not permitted to offer the sacrifices that God had commanded for those who had leprosy and who were cured. So he would not have been able to do as the other nine did. But he came back to the great high priest. He came to his feet to thank and to praise and to glorify him. And there this man lay. And Jesus says, were there not ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? This only come back to give God the glory and him a stranger? We see here, my hearers, that God is so sovereign and so free in giving cures and in also giving grace to glorify him and thank him for what he has done. This man, he was not a Jew, but he was a Samaritan. The Jews, they claimed to have the true religion. And now this man, he put the Jews to shame. He came to the feet of Christ. And he gave him thanks. He was filled with true gratitude. This is where a person comes that is given by the grace of God to feel his unworthiness and to be filled with thankfulness. There he will come, whoever he or she may be, they come to the feet of Christ. And now Jesus, he speaks about the other nine. Where were they? In all probabilities, they went to the priest. They were declared clean, and in all probabilities, they went into the temple and they offered up the sacrifices that God had commanded that should be offered. And there they probably expressed their gratitude and their thanks. But they did not come back to him who was the author of their cure. This man lay there. And Jesus, he spake unto him and said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus makes a distinction between this man and the other nine. The other nine had a general faith that he was able to cure them. But this man had a little more faith. He had the faith of God's elect. He had a faith to see that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. He had a faith which brought him to the feet of Jesus. This is where true faith brings a person. When he is given to experiences, this man did such a wonder even on his body. Faith glorifies God through Jesus Christ. This man was given then to arise and to go forth. He needed not to go to the priest. He had been to the great high priest, and he had experienced what he had said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was made perfectly whole from that very moment. Oh, I think that this man was filled with gratitude, and he went his way rejoicing, the same as Naaman had done when he had been cured from his leprosy. And now, my hearers, let me take you back to the beginning of my lesson. We have had 10 men that were lepers. This disease, leprosy, as I said, was considered incurable. A person that had it, if God did not cure him, he died of it. This disease is a type of sin. Sin, my hearers, came into the world through one man. And in and through sin, death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Sin is the consequence of death. Every one of us are sinners, and soon death shall take hold of us. Every one of us must die because of sin. And now, this terrible affliction, sin, is so little felt amongst mankind. We have here 10 men. These men, they were shut out from all communion with their fellow creatures because of this terrible disease. They had to live alone. So you and I, we've been shut out of paradise. We've been shut out of all communion with God in and through sin. We are, as these men, afar off. We cannot come nigh unto God anymore because of our sins. These men, they dwelt alone, and they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, to whoever approached them. So with you and I, we cannot approach unto God anymore. We are unclean. He is a divine and a holy and a pure being. He can have nothing to do with us as sinners. These men, they are a type of you and I. These men, they knew that they had this disease, leprosy. They were very conscious of it. And now you know you have this disease, sin. From infancy, every one of you has been born and brought up in the church, brought up in the true doctrine of the Word of God, and you know that you are sinners. every one of you. You wouldn't dare say that you had no sin. And now these men, they were conscious of it, but how few are conscious of this terrible disease, sin. There are millions of people that live in this world that never heard of Jesus Christ, never heard of this wonderful physician, of his pity, of his compassion, and of his mercy to heal sinners, who die in their ignorance, who God leaves to themselves, and they perish in their sins, justly and righteously. God could do that with you and I. Why aren't we amongst that multitude? It's only the goodness of God that he's brought us under his truth, and that we have been given from infancy to know that we are sinners. Oh, there are so many that have been born and brought up in the church and have heard this from childhood and have no consciousness of their sin. I'm not like these 10 men, for they were very conscious that they needed mercy. Then there are some, my hearers, that have made a profession of religion, have become members of the church, and have been instructed in all the truths according to the Word of God. And they have a knowledge that they are sinners and will admit that with their mouth. But that is as far as it comes. Then there are some who, like these 10 lepers, and may I appeal unto you, my hearers, I've been thinking about this. Did you read this little chapter, or rather just this little lesson? Let me ask you a question. Did you ever stop by these 6 words, this prayer that these lepers had? Have you stopped by and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon me? How did you come up today? Did you look the lesson over? Was it your appeal that the Lord would have mercy upon you? Did you feel that you were a sinner? In the depths of your soul that you needed mercy? Oh, how few I am afraid. But really and truly, pray this short prayer that Jesus would have mercy upon you. Oh, how many amongst my hearers are like the psalmist, of whom we read that he was filled with a loathsome disease. Oh, he was filled with leprosy of sin. And he complained so that his loins were filled with a loathsome disease. And he went mourning all the day long. He was cast down because of his iniquities. And still he could appeal unto God and say, Lord, all my groaning and all my sighing is not hid from thee. Lord, all my desire and all my groanings are not hid from thee. Can you appeal to God? Are you a sinner in here? Are you saying, Lord, this is my case. Oh, I'm such a poor sinner, such a groaning sinner, such a miserable sinner. But Lord, there is a desire that thou would have mercy upon me. Oh, I wish that every person here was so afflicted by the hand of God that they needed mercy. These men, they cried with a loud voice. And we read so distinctly when Jesus saw them. Do you believe that Jesus sees you, poor soul?
you that are crying, you that are groaning inwardly, you that have a desire that he would show mercy, he sees you. Was his heart moved towards these 10 leprous men? He still has the same heart today. He's still filled with pity and compassion, especially to those that groan and that sigh and that long to be saved from their sins. Oh, he looked at them and he said, go, show yourself to the priest. So I would say to you, go to the house of God. Come under the means of grace. Thousands and thousands have been cleansed from their sins under the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. It still has the same power if his spirit accompanies it as it had upon the day of Pentecost. It isn't any different. Oh, go show yourself to this blessed high priest that I'm trying to present before you. Him who receives sinners who never turned any away. Oh, go to him. Have you a case? Are you troubled? Can you not understand what is going on within you? Go to a faithful minister. Declare unto him yourself, who will deal faithfully with you and turn you upon the right way. Oh, my hearers, these men, they were given to experience that they were cleansed without any money, without any price, without any application from Jesus himself. They were divinely cured and healed. Oh, how wonderful that this still goes on under the means of grace. That Jesus, that great healer, he heals souls. He cleanses them from all their sins. And he gives them to realize this and to enjoy it, to cry out because of the wonders shown to them. Have I someone listening to me that has experienced this? All of you have been given to realize that all your sins are forgiven, and that you have been led by Jesus to the Father, and you have been given to be reconciled with him through the precious blood of Christ, that he took it up for you, then you likewise have come into this place where this Samaritan came. You have been led to the feet of Christ to glorify God for his Son, Jesus Christ. For that faith that he gave unto you to believe in him, you have found joy and peace in believing in him. Oh, the wonder of it, my hearers, if any one of us ever experienced this in this life, we will need an eternity to thank God for the mercy that we have experienced. What does this lesson teach us? This teaches us what true gratitude is, and teaches us the sin of ingratitude. My hearers, see it in this man, this Samaritan. There was true gratitude. He was so thankful for the benefit that he had received. He made an open proclamation of it before everybody, and he glorified God for what he had experienced. And the other nine, they came not back. They showed no gratitude to him who had given them the same blessing. And now, my hearers, look back in your past life. Go to infancy when you were a child. In the state of infancy, God has kept you from so many things that other poor children have had. Some have lost an arm, some have lost a leg, some have lost their sight. And you were kept through this state of infancy. Oh, should you not be thankful to God for this preserving mercy even when you was a child? Think of the many diseases. Oh, think of the many pains and sufferings that even children underwent that you were exempt from, that you were kept from by the goodness of God. Oh, think, my hearers, if you are parents, of how many things that you have went through in life, and you have been blessed and exempt from so many dangerous diseases, fatal diseases. Oh, that you yet are healthy and well to this day should touch your heart and break it to pieces before him. But my hearers, how many of us are like these nine men? No gratitude, no thankfulness. Never had our hearts touched like this man, this Samaritan. Oh, this sin of ingratitude is so great and so prevalent, my hearers, amongst mankind. When you think of the millions of people that have been created by God and have been upheld by his bounty every day of their life, how few of them are thankful to God, their benefactor, for all what they have. And when you think of others who in the course of their lifetime, they sin. They reckless, a careless life. They fall into vices. They fall into some things that you and I haven't fallen into. And their bodies are afflicted, and they draw near to the grave because of the life that they have been leading. And God is so good to raise such creatures up yet when they cry to him, when they sigh to him. And what do we see? I've seen it, and you've seen it. And that when the life has been restored, the vigor and the strength that they have been given, they use again to sin some more against God. Oh, my hearers, how many amongst my hearers have been deathly sick, have had some disease which you feared would sure take your life, and you have cried and sighed that God would spare you. And he has. He heard your cry. He raised you up. He made you well again. Have you had a broken heart? Has it brought you to live to his honor and to his glory? Has it turned you back unto him? I'm afraid I hear you say no. I've forgotten all about it. It's so long ago. Oh, my hearers. When we consider how many people are filled with this terrible sin, ingratitude, oh, every one of us should be ashamed of ourselves. The Lord is so good and so kind and so merciful to every one of us that we have every day reasons to be thankful and to be grateful to him for what that we have. But we forget our heavenly benefactor. These nine men, they did not return to give him thanks. And of the millions of people that are in this world, how few are given to give God the thanks that is due unto his name for every blessing that we have received. All ministers even, and even elders, we went to the bedsides of some creatures. They were on the verge of eternity. Oh, we cried with them to God that God would spare their life. And God heard our feeble cries, and they were restored. While they were upon their beds, they showed such signs of repentance, showed signs that if their life was spared, they would live for God. And how disappointed have we become with many in this way, ministers and elders. We have seen them go on in their own way, forgetful of the goodness that God has shown to them. Oh, this is the lesson that Jesus is teaching here, my hearers.
Has he done something good for you in the past? May you be reminded of it. May your heart be touched at this present time and say, Lord, oh, what an unthankful and what an ungrateful creature have I been. I have forgotten thee so often. It has left me as I am, dead in sin and in trespasses. Oh, Lord, do humble my heart. Do give me to live to thy honor, to thy glory. All that God would bless the feeble attempts that I've been setting before you this afternoon to his honor, to his glory, and to the welfare of your immortal souls. That's all for today.